You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk, Healing Pans and Pandas. We are going to talk today again just about homeopathy. So you get me and Jody, and we're going to talk about this part of the healing journey that really does need to be discussed, because our goal is to get kids with pans and pandas like not needing us anymore, right? I always say our job at Resilience Naturopathic is to work ourselves out of a job. We love the people that we work with, and we don't want to talk to you forever. Or we want to talk to you when you send us amazing updates about all the things that you're doing, and, or, you know, ask for a referral for naturopathic medical school or something like that. Right. But we don't want to have to be working with you forever. And so the second half of healing is an important thing to talk about. It's a concept that was brought up by Samuel Hahnemann. So this isn't something that I am making up. This is in the Organon of Medicine and in chronic diseases. It is something that I've taught about too, to other homeopaths as well, that the second half of healing is this time. It's not always the exact second half, right, Jody? Like sometimes it might take you 2 years to get to the second half of healing, and then a year to get through the second half of healing, or less time, or, you know, it's not exactly half. Like if it takes you 2 years to get there, it doesn't mean you got another 2 years necessarily. But the second half of healing is where you're basically out of like the acute flare place, out of the danger zone, things that you might not even really be seeking a doctor's help for, were it not for the history of PANS. So this is like kind of like the cleanup place, right? Yeah. So this is where we're dealing with things that might have been longstanding that don't seem like they're PANS related, because when we're diagnosing from a conventional approach or a conventional way of looking at health and healing, they're not PANS related. They would not lead to a diagnosis of PANS or pandas. But when we're looking at things from the homeopathic perspective, where all health challenges are due to disruptions and disturbances of the vital force, or our body's ability to maintain homeostasis and balance, and everything is connected. So like the stuff that's happening with your gut is connected to your PANS. The stuff that's happening with your headaches is connected to your PANS. Your history of rashes is connected to your PANS, because all of that is connected to that susceptibility to this particular way that your system is like weakened, or, you know, can be disturbed in one way or the other. Right. Mm. So everything is connected. And then if we don't heal all of the things that we're dealing with, that come to us, there's a chance that the things that we were more concerned about could return, because that susceptibility hasn't been fully addressed. Yeah. So this is a tough part of the healing journey, I'm not going to lie. And it's tough for everybody. It's tough because you're generally doing pretty well. The stuff that you're dealing with is mild by comparison. And some of it might even be stuff that you're like, this is just how I am. This is just how my body works. Because it's been around for so long that you have become accustomed to it, and you don't realize that you're not in the state of optimal health in that place. So you could go from being somebody who has really great responses to remedies and, you know, big, big changes, to like little changes and subtle things. It gets harder to see changes because, you know, we always talk about climbing mountains, right? You are in that last, like the last half, the second half of healing isn't the second half of the climb. It's actually like, if we're doing a mountain analogy, it's like, you can see the peak. You're at the very tail end. It's like the last half mile of a 10-mile hike. You can see the peak. You're close. You're generally doing great. You've got a whole lot, and you see, oh my gosh, I'm so proud. Look at all of this that was behind me. But if you don't do that last little bit, you're not going to get there. So the changes that you're going to see from making a 10% improvement in that last half mile are very different than what you're going to see if you're doing a 10% improvement in the whole 10 miles. Does that make sense? Like a 10% jump is different when you're at the early stages of healing, because you've got so much improvement that you need to make, versus in the last set, the second half of healing, where you've got less that needs to be healed. So the improvements are just not going to be as clear and as big. And I'm going to turn to you here for a second, Jody, because a lot of parents get into this place and then they start to think, well, homeopathy is not working for me anymore because we're not seeing these big changes like we used to.
The second half is definitely was a little kind of crazy making for me while I was in it. Now it looks different, of course, because everything looks shinier after you've done it. But it was even though I had a pretty solid, my confidence in homeopathy was good. It was where it needed to be. When Avery started her healing journey, exactly what you just said happened. We were seeing like any shifting at all was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I was just overwhelmed in the beginning with any, like anything. Like if ticks went down by 20%, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then we got further in, and then we were starting to see larger chunks of improvement where things were going away, staying away for a little while. So in that first half or whatever it was, there was a lot of like things going on. I was still confused, like we all are, in the figuring out when I dose, when I don't dose, all of those things. I had you to lean on for all of that. But me seeing those really cool things, I didn't realize how helpful it was until we got to the second half, and all of that kind of slowed down because Avery was doing better. It's really easy to go back into questioning homeopathy. And okay, we're gonna deal with these confidence issues forever. Maybe Avery just has low confidence and that's how she's gonna be for the rest of her life. She's going to, I don't even remember at this point. It's all been so long ago. Like I know there were some ticks going on. Well, maybe we're just gonna have like these couple of lingering ticks forever. And in the absence of all of the improvement, I was struggling myself. And I also felt like kind of it shifted into a different flavor of figuring out. Like as she started doing better and we were going longer in between doses, that was different figuring out than we were before, because she also wasn't aggravating as bad in the second half. So everything kind of shifted, and I felt like I was like, oh gosh, like we're right back in the middle of all of the figuring out. And it just, it creeps, like it just creeped, and I felt like it was never, ever, ever going to end. And I feel like this is where my heart breaks every time I see any family, regardless of any provider they see, leave homeopathy, and then just eventually it comes back, and it's like, oh, this is where like sticking with it through that end part where you're tying up the loose strings, when you're allowing the body to continue to heal outside of the overwhelm that it was in during PANS, that time is so incredibly valuable. And I swore it was never going to end. I was so frustrated with everything, the journey with homeopathy, probably with you. And what I didn't get at the time was that Avery's body just needed more time to be able to do this calmer and slower healing in order to completely take care of or like do the final stages of changing her susceptibility. I don't, whatever the words are, but it was the end was so important. And I feel like sometimes people step away out of frustration or just thinking that homeopathy doesn't work or whatever it is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like you were so close. And yes, it was still hard, but their body just needs a little more.
That's what you said. Like they were so close. You're so close. And it's frustrating. And like you know me and my metaphors or analogies. I think it's analogy. I always use the wrong word, so it's probably analogy. That it's like when you drop something that's like that breaks. So like you drop, like let's say you drop a something filled with sand and pebbles that breaks. The glass shards are going to be easy. The big ones are easy to pick up. Then the pebbles are some are easier to pick up. So when you get to like the sand and like that, those little bits of those tiny little things of glass, they will sometimes hang around for weeks and you like step up, ah, where did this glass shard come from? Oh, it's from that thing I broke 2 weeks ago. That is just, it was hard to get. And so we finally found it so that we could address it. You know, it can just, the it's easier and you can feel like you make more progress with the bigger, harder, worse things than with the smaller things. I feel like it's pretty important to talk about return of old symptoms. Most people are going to see return of old symptoms happening in the first half of healing, but it can show up in the second half of healing too. And sometimes that's what the second half of healing is dealing with, is like some old symptoms that were covered up. So I think I've used this analogy before. But you know, as we're going through life, if we start to get sick, we have some susceptibility start to be shown, some untunement of our vital force, if you will, that we are weakening of our vital force, that we will take medications, and that's like, instead of vacuuming up the stuff that just spilled, that's throwing a rug over it. And so then dirt is still going to come around. So we get more dirt. And instead of vacuuming that up, we throw another rug with new medications, or the condition itself just progresses. And so these things that never were actually healed, never actually addressed appropriately, but covered up either from the progression of the condition or through medications that are not working on that secondary healing response. They're just focusing on the primary action. So check out our last episode if you don't know what I'm talking about. So if they're not a healing modality, then we're just covering it up. So basically every time we start to use healing modalities, we have to actually address the symptoms. We have to vacuum that top rug, but we can't just like throw it all everywhere. We create chaos, right? So we vacuum the top rug, then we peel that rug back, and then we vacuum the next layer before we take that one back. And so as we're healing, and doing the parts where we're taking care of it appropriately so that we're not just suppressing or palliating it, things that were covered up from those other uses of medications or the progression of the condition itself start to show back up. And so you might be frustrated that in the second half of healing, it's probably more so in the first half that you're going to be seeing this, but you might be having some stuff like eczema that your kid had as a baby that has just become really sticky again, and that you're working through, because we're actually trying to address the overall totality of the susceptibility. There could be things like constipation that you're trying to address, or headaches, you know, that kind of thing, that are things you can live and work through. But if you don't, you're still leaving parts of that susceptibility sort of exposed and vulnerable to future triggers.
I think there's quite a few of us that in that second half, for those of us that have kids with ADHD, that like shifts. And for some reason, in the second half, the ADHD stuff feels so much heavier. But it's because all of the other insanity is gone away. And I think the ADHD part is a struggle for a lot of us, because it really does feel like it's going to be there forever.
Yeah. And it won't necessarily be there forever, but there are ways that, you know, ADHD is part of how we're wired, that so it's more about like the suffering and the ways that we can't work through it versus trying to just change and eliminate ADHD altogether. Yeah. But yeah, like you bring up a good point that sometimes the things that are underlying in the second half of healing require shifts in how you manage things, which requires almost like going back to the beginning, because the way that you've learned to manage your kid to help recover and get out of the pan space isn't working anymore. And we have to adjust for just a different stage of healing, where things are probably going to be slower and a little bit more like less reactive and less dramatic, which is both comforting because you don't have like the crazy ups and downs that come with PANS and like the scary ups and downs that come with PANS, but you don't have like the huge highs of like the victory of like, oh my gosh, look at this relief that I got, because we're chipping away. My friend always said that with like mental and behavioral symptoms, we're blowing away a cloud, and with physical symptoms and other more like more ingrained symptoms or more long lasting things, we're like blowing away a sand dune. And it just, the way that we would blow away a cloud is a lot different than the way we blow away a sand dune. And some of it is that, you know, the same effort can do both. It just takes more time. With one. So hang in there. If you are in the second half of healing, homeopathy is not no longer working for you. It's just in a different stage, and your expectations for it have to shift a little bit. And this is a really important conversation to have with your homeopath about what stage of healing you might be in, and if you need to make some adjustments and things. And this could mean that you also need to go back and relearn how to observe, because you're going to need to lean on different things to help guide remedy selection. Because if you're used to really just looking at behavioral things, you might need to shift that a little bit. So we'll put a link in the show notes to our How to Be a Better Observer page, our series on our YouTube channel. That I think will be really helpful for anybody who might feel like they're a little bit stuck in that second half of healing. That's a really good thing to go and lean on, especially if you're like, well, all I've got left is this skin stuff. I don't even know it's just a rash. What do I report? Yeah. That will help give you a really good resource of like the types of things that we're looking for to help. Yeah.
I think two little closing thoughts specifically for parents or caregivers. Like my whole goal in all of this is to say, this is normal. This is what I experience. This is what all of us experience. The things that you're going through in the second half is exactly what we all went through. It's normal, completely normal. And then number two, more importantly, is if you're in the second half of healing with your child and you are struggling, that's the universe yelling at you that you need to do homeopathy yourself. I really, really, really wish I would have been doing homeopathy when Avery was in the second half of healing, mm-hmm. because my body was still getting sucked into this tornado that was happening a long time ago when she was having really bad symptoms. Like anytime any little thing would happen, my body would go into like hyper mode. It's all coming back. This is going to be an awful like rage episode. And all it was just her getting angry, but my body was still doing the old stuff. Yeah. So if you're not doing homeopathy, it helps so much with this stuff.
Yeah. And that's an important thing to recognize too, is that especially when you're dealing with something like recovery from PANS and PANDAS or other mental health conditions too, for that matter, that we can get so zoomed in on things that are normal, like a normal response to a circumstance or to an environment or whatever. And it feels like such a threat to us that we fail to see that this isn't actually a symptom. This is just something that happened, and then they moved through and came and are fine. Because we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for resilience, right? We're looking for the ability to have something happen, the normal ups and downs of life, and bounce back from it with little to no intervention. From our parts, right? And so it doesn't mean we're never going to have an angry kid. It doesn't mean we're never going to have any illness or anything like that. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to have things that affect us. It's just how we then respond to those things. So sometimes we can get lost in that second half of healing, focusing on things that are normal but that feel scary because of the history, that aren't really indicators for what we need to be looking at to finish the process.
Yeah. That's like a whole nother episode right there. Like, do you need homeopathy to be able to shift into that, like out of that space where you think homeopathy is supposed to fix everything? I could talk about that for like an hour. We won't do that today though.
All right. So we'll leave that for there today. As always, if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you, especially for these things where our goal with these episodes is to try and help you have the best outcomes possible. If you're using homeopathy for your healing journey and to just understand the process, because sometimes the most challenges that we have with healing with homeopathy is our own thoughts and our own expectations that can interfere with something that is working the way that it needs to. And the reality is, like, as I said at the beginning, it's hard for you. It's hard for your providers, because we all have to make this adjustment. It's a hard shift to be like, but you always responded this way. Can't we get better? And we just have to be, we all have to be willing to have a little bit of patience and trust. Patience with the process, trust with the process, trust in the body, and what it's able to do, and not try to force things that are going okay, that are going okay.
Yeah. But also know that the second half of healing is really lovely too. We've talked not so kindly about it, but it's also so amazing.
In the second half of healing, you're basically living life like, you know, any other family that, you know, might have a kid who occasionally has constipation or, you know, whatever. So like it's, there is an awful lot of really good things in the second half of healing, and that it exists in the same space of sometimes feeling frustrated. And I just hate to see families go backwards because they give up at the 26 mile marker and don't go the last 0.2 miles. Our goal here is to help you get the last 0.2 miles of that marathon run. And so you can be done and have confidence and faith in the place that you've reached. So, all right, we'll wrap for today. Take care, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.